Welcome back. Well, a Wall Street Journal report reveals regulators decided to delay the review of Pfizer's COVID vaccine for children under five because the initial two-dose regimen was not working well against Omicron in testing. Here to help us discuss, let's bring in Dr. Tyson Bell, Assistant Professor of Medicine in the Divisions of Infectious Disease and Pulmonary Critical Care Medicine at the University of Virginia. Doctor, thank you so much for being here today. Just your reaction to that news, because there will be a lot of parents with young kids that will be very disappointed about this.
Well, thanks for having me on, Karina. And I'm one of those parents. I have a three-year-old, and I'm looking at all this news with really two brains. The medical side really understands that we really want to have the data, your ducks in a row when it comes to coming forward to FDA and the CDC. And it looks like the efficacy for the vaccine trials was looking good in the Delta wave. But as we know, Omicron presented a higher challenge for vaccines. And so it looks like that efficacy was a little bit lower. Now, Pfizer has not released the data. I have not seen it. But I agree that you want to make sure that the data is solid before you approach the FDA. Now, the parent side of me with my three-year-old, who I wanted to get vaccinated now, is very frustrated because it feels like parents are being jerked around with this press release and reversals. And so, at the end of the day, we will have a vaccine that's effective for young children. I wish it were now, but that day is going to come.
Okay. And Doctor, California is now one of the first states to say that they are going to start looking at this disease as endemic instead of a pandemic. Hawaii is one of the last states to sort of ease mask mandates. Are we turning a corner here? Is it time to start thinking about this virus differently?
Well, we see that we have over 2,000 deaths per day and close to 80,000 in the hospital. So I would not say that we're endemic yet, but it does look like we're getting towards that point. Endemic basically means that the virus is here with us, but it's manageable. And so if you have hospitals that are overwhelmed, that's not the spot that you're in. Now, I think regardless of what point we are in the pandemic, I think what California is doing is laying the groundwork for what they're going to do to manage the pandemic and be prepared for the next wave. And what that basically means is expanding vaccination, making sure that you have a good testing infrastructure, making sure that even if you're not requiring masks for indoor settings, that you have a good stockpile that are ready to go in case you need them, and that you're doing all that you can to lay the groundwork for when that next wave comes. The nature of this is to come in waves. And we've been here before last summer before Delta took hold. We just have to be prepared for that next wave to come.
And perhaps there will be a next wave coming, because while people are becoming complacent, there is a new subvariant, BA2, that's now causing concern. It's said to be 30 to 50% more contagious than Omicron, more severe in symptoms than Delta. It's now present in 74 countries and 47 states. How concerned do you think we need to be about it?
Well, whenever a variant comes, it's kind of like playing a new team that you haven't played before. So you need the scouting report. But at the end of the day, it depends on what's happening on the field. And so there's always three questions you want to ask yourself with a variant. So the first is it more transmissible or easily spread? So it looks like it might be a little bit more than BA1 or the original Omicron. The second question is, are vaccines and therapeutics, are they going to be effective? And it looks like that immune evasion is still around the same level that we saw with the original Omicron, and that there's one monoclonal antibody that may not work as well for this strain as compared to the previous Omicron. And then the last question, really is it more severe? Now, there's a lab report that suggests that it could be more severe, but that's way too early. What's important and what gives me, some encouragement is that on the field, in places where you're seeing BA2 cases rise, you're still seeing hospitalizations go down. And that's probably a combination of protection from the vaccine. So vaccination and boosting still provides a good level of protection from severe disease. But also being affected with Omicron does seem to provide some protection against this strain. And so I fully expect that if you're vaccinated and boosted, that we won't have as much problems with BA2.
And Doctor, I want to ask you really quickly, Health and Human Services says it is running short of money to deal with future variants and the technology to keep ahead of this virus. They're asking for $30 billion more to help take care of all of the issues they're looking into. How vital are those funds in your estimation?
Well, prevention is key. And when you're dealing with the pandemic, if you are playing the catch-up game, you're already far behind. And that's how hospitals get overwhelmed. That's how staff attrition happens. And that would leave you scarred for handling the next wave. And so if the resources are needed. Remember, public health was already severely underfunded before we even went into this pandemic. And so we have to catch up to the level just to do core basic functions to deal with everything else that's going on. But we also have to make sure that we have a good workforce that's in place ready to respond when we have another wave. And so, you know, we have to have masks, we have to have testing, tracing, isolation. And that means that on the ground, public health, local public health agencies and state agencies need to have the staffing and the funding that are able to do this.
All right, we will leave it there. Thank you for all you are doing along with your team. Dr. Tyson Bell, Assistant Professor of Medicine in the Divisions of Infectious Disease and Pulmonary Critical Care Medicine at the University of Virginia. Thank you so much.